Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 51. This is the special college basketball preview edition. This is Jim Weglarz, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow the podcast at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So those are introductions. Let's just jump right into this action as we've kind of been promoting this for a couple weeks. We're going to go over all this college basketball information, starting with the indexes that we follow to make our picks. And then we'll go over conference previews and then our Final Four and championship picks. So nothing too glamorous, but jump right into it, right?
Yeah, I mean, college basketball, I think you and I talk about all the time, is one of our favorite sports. At least for me it is, I know. And I do think that there's quite a bit of soft lines out there that you can really turn a profit if you're good at it and pick your spots.
Yeah, a little preview. Action's already killing it, so
yes, sir.
Follow his advice. But first, let's go over our main, you know, source of information that we use, and that's kind of like in college football, we use the SP Plus. With Bill Connolly, we follow a guy named Ken Pomeroy, who has his site at kenpom.com, and it's kind of an industry standard for college basketball. So maybe you can explain a little better what all that we're looking at on this site when we check out the Ken Pom ratings.
Yeah, Ken Pom has his own ratings that he uses all kinds of data from basketball games where he comes up with efficiency, both offensively and defensively, which basically is a measure of how many points that team scores or allows over 100 possessions. So if you look on the front page of his website, he ranks all the teams 1 to 352. I think we lost one this year. RIP. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who it is, but I had to delete them from my index. But essentially, he ranks them based on how good they are on offense and defense, and then he has an adjusted efficiency margin for each team and then ranks them 1 to 353. So it's very useful. There's all kinds of different other metrics you can pull off there, too. He's got offensive three-point shooting, two-point field goal shooting, defense, steal rates, turnover rates, rebounding rates, which is very important to me, and tons of data you can mine from there.
He also, one of the columns is the luck rating. Which is kind of interesting. You don't usually see that in these indices, but it's definitely something that I've been using for maybe a decade, maybe 6-7 years at least, when I do my picks for the tournament. And then in the last 4 years or so, I've been tracking these teams off of Ken Pom just to get ready for the tournament. I kind of start that in January. So we did the podcast last year. We kind of started a little bit earlier than I normally do to try to make it into a betting metric. So it's just such a great resource, and you'll hear, if you listen closely to the experts, you know, on ESPN or whatever, they'll still refer to Ken Pom on there as well, in addition to other metrics that they talk about. But I think Ken Pom's the best.
Yeah, another one major resource that I use is teamrankings.com. It's another free site that has tons of information. Team by team, you can see how they're doing against the spread and total wise, overs, unders throughout every game during the season. Very good resource as well.
Nice. Well, more importantly, like in college, in pro football, we use the Wegs Index, although it hasn't been doing as good as other years. Action here has his own index that he adapted last season, midstream, when we were doing the podcast. And it's an adaptation of Ken Pom's data, but tell us how that works.
Yeah, what I've done is taken all of the data, which I can download into tabular format, and I put them into my own little spreadsheet here, which kind of jumbles it about. And it really is based off of Ken Pom, but then I've adjusted a few of what I believe to be most important ratings and adjust the power ratings from Ken Pom to come up with my own. And I look at rebounding adjustments, turnovers, and effective field goal percentage, and do a little up or down arrow for each one of those to come up with my final rating. And then throughout each week, usually twice a week, I'll update it based on games that have been played. And the top 10 is usually very similar to Ken Pom, but not necessarily matches up exactly.
No, no, it's true. It's different. When we looked at it last year, it was a little bit different. I do like your emphasis on rebounding as a coach. Trust me, my little team this year can't rebound worth a damn. It's such an important metric, especially with teams, you know, if they're a poor shooting team, but they can rebound the crap out of the ball, it doesn't really matter. You know, they keep getting extra possessions. So the efficiency actually may be poor, but getting extra possessions, it doesn't matter how inefficient you are if you have 15 extra possessions a game, you know?
Yeah, and you'll notice that, at least in terms of my rankings, the good rebounding teams are always near the top.
Right. Now, I do have a question for you. You know, we haven't really done this on either of your indexes. How does it work in terms of the spread, though? So, it unlike SP Plus, which is almost, it's a points rating, right? It's a points on a neutral for that team. We can use it very directly to try to identify games. And this year, it's been working very well for me. My index, the WEGS index, is not as direct. It's more kind of looking at the data pool and kind of figuring out where there's inefficiencies with the pool of teams. So how do these two ratings work in terms of the spread?
It's pretty simple. You have an adjusted tempo for each team, which KenPom tracks on his site, which is a measurement of how many average possessions are in a game. So you start with that. And then you also have their efficiency rating on both offense and defense, which tells you how many points they score per possession. And you just kind of take those numbers and compare them against each other to determine over a number of possessions, which they have per game, how many extra points are they going to get versus their opponents. And from there, you can come up with a number either plus above zero or negative, much less than zero, to which they would be compared to an average team. So from there, that gives you their power rating, or essentially the spread above zero, or for poor teams, it's minus or negative zero, under zero.
Okay. So the I'm looking at KenPom site right now. So the AGT, is that the tempo?
Adjusted tempo, yep. That tells you how many possessions they have per game. And
per game. Okay, so then per an 80-minute game, basically. And then the 114, so the adjusted offensive metric would be, if it's 114, which I'm looking at Michigan State, 114.2, that's based on, you said 100 possessions?
Or correct.
So that's how many points they would score in 100 possessions.
Yeah, so every time down the floor, Michigan State would be expected to score 1.14 points.
Gotcha. And so basically per possession, you kind of multiply that column by the adjusted per tempo to get their point total, imputed point total, basically.
Yep, exactly right.
Hey, look at this. I'm learning. I didn't do that last year. So this year I'm going to try to be a little bit more like I was with Bill Connolly's and the SP Plus, just a little bit more active in doing it instead of just kind of, you know, ranking the teams. Because sometimes, you know, teams could be right next to each other in the quote-unquote stack in the rank, but that doesn't mean that the efficiency stats are the same, you know, because obviously per team and the defensive adjustment factor as well, because some teams don't play any defense, as you know. So
very true.
Excellent. All righty. Well, thank you. And you want to go over your top 10. So well, I guess we go both over top 10. So
yeah,
in KenPom right now, granted, this is only through less than a week of game action. We've got Michigan State at the top, number one, followed by Kentucky, Louisville, Virginia, Duke at 5, North Carolina, Villanova at 7, the Zags at 8, Purdue, there's Purdue again, at 9, and Kansas at 10. So looking at that list of 10, how does that differ from yours? Quite a bit from what I can see.
I've got Kentucky up at the top, and mostly because of their rebounding adjustment. Then followed by Gonzaga at 2, Villanova is 3, Duke 4, North Carolina 5, and the bottom five are Virginia, Louisville, Michigan State, Arkansas, which is a very sneaky entrant into the top 10, and Providence also doesn't seem like they should belong at this point. So,
well, Providence is 17 in KenPom. I'm just looking for Arkansas.
36.
Okay, yeah. It's obviously so much early in the data, and I don't know how much you're using your index yet. Probably take a couple of weeks to get some data in there, but you know, at this point, it's just information and data to follow.
Yeah, so. I mean, a lot of these adjustments, especially rebounding and turnovers and effective field goal, are based on their opponents too. So strength of schedule certainly plays a part, and it's less telling this early in the season.
For sure. And obviously, KenPom does have strength of schedule, unlike the old WEGS index, so as we've discussed. Excellent. Awesome. Well, with that information in mind, let's roll into the conference previews, and we're kind of not starting in any particular order. I kind of created this based on you know, who was number one and number two and everything. So their whole conference gets reviewed. So we'll start at the top with the Big Ten, and also close to home for us. Michigan State is the top team, at least going into the season, I guess. They are plus 700 to win the championship, and in the Big Ten, they're plus 145 to win the Big Ten, so they're the prohibitive favorite. Obviously, we know Tom Izzo was there. The returning Cassius Winston at point guard, and Tillman. Sounds like that Langford is not going to play again. The guy keeps getting hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got their recruiting rank at 27th per 247 composite score. What are your thoughts on Michigan State so far this year?
Well, I mean, they're certainly deserving of the number one ranking based on their resume and the players that are returning, led by Cassius Winston, who's probably the leader for the Wooden Award this season. But right. You're right, Josh Langford being hurt is going to hurt them initially, and they play a really difficult schedule every year. So
they do.
I expect they'll lose quite a few games out of the gate, and they already lost once to Kentucky on opening night.
They
so
did.
So they'll probably lose quite a bit more, but they'll be there at the end like they always are behind Cassius Winston, who is an awesome leader.
He is. He's excellent. I love Izzo. You know, as you know, I have a crush on Izzo. He's just so amazing as a coach, and he definitely gets his team ready in March, you know, save a couple of seasons where they kind of got bowed out early. But for the most part, they're always there, and they always kind of exceed expectations. In this case, being the number one team, that's the only thing. They're not usually in that position as the number one team. So we'll see if it's a different mark on their back. Obviously, the health of Winston, if he's got to stay healthy for them to do this. But other than that, they should be the leader, at least in the Big Ten, for sure. Any value with either of those numbers, since obviously they're the top numbers? Would you just stay away from that kind of thing?
Yeah, I haven't really bet conference futures in the past in basketball. Actually, I think this might be the first year that I've ever seen regular season conference futures. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to see that pop up last week. But at plus 700 to win the national title is a little too short for me. I usually look for longer shots.
Exactly. So next team I have listed is Maryland. Maryland is pretty big step down, plus 2,800 to win the title, plus 600 to win the Big Ten. Mark Turgeon being the coach there. I've got them as a 28th recruiting class, but I don't have much notes in terms of transfers or any other additions to this team. They probably lost some talent to the NBA like they usually do.
Yeah, Bruno.
You like the Terps?
Bruno is
that's,
gone.
That's your guy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they lost Bruno, but they have the super sophomore coming back. They're going to be good this year. They are returning a few of their guards as well. Jalen Smith returns, the super sophomore who had 11 points per game last season. But they also get senior guard Anthony Cowan back, who was a good leader for them. So between those two and a few other role players that are coming back, I think they have a good nucleus. And they have a really good recruiting class as well. I think you have here 28th in recruiting. But there's two guys in particular, the Mitchell brothers, which are both forwards and just twin towers, and they really help them defensively and rebounding. So I think that Maryland is definitely a sleeper, although I'm not really high on Mark Turgeon as a coach. I think that he's a great recruiter, but not so good in the in-game adjustments during the season.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I don't think he's a great coach, but yeah, I can see what you're saying here. They got Mikkel and Makai Mitchell, 6'10", 235, freshman from D.C., so the D.C. area. So definitely could be a team that could be – certainly going to be a tough team to play night in and night out. The next team in terms of – kind of not jumping around a little bit, but on our list because some of the odds switched a little bit.
Okay.
Surprisingly, Michigan is the next team to win the Big Ten. They're, for the title, it's plus 3,300. For the Big Ten, it's plus 650. They have a new coach here in Juwan Howard, losing beeline to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think it's a huge downgrade personally in coach. I think beeline was one of the best coaches in the NCAA. And I don't know if Howard, I know he's been working his way up, and I'm happy to see he got a job. But I just think that it's going to be a big step down for him personally or for the team. And, you know, we'll see. I don't have a lot of information. Let's see if I have any information on there. Recruiting class, I don't. So I'm sure that he's going to be a good recruiter in the future as an NBA player, a former NBA player, but I don't know. They're a team I would fade personally this year.
Yeah, they did get a guy in by the name of Franz Wagner, who I'm assuming is Mo Wagner's little brother, although it looks like he's a guard, so not quite the same player. But I totally agree. I think that Juwan Howard is a major step down in the coaching department for this team. And not only that, they lost a ton of talent too. Iggy Brazdeikis, Jordan Poole, mm-hmm. and Charles Matthews are all gone to the NBA. So really the only returning players who were worth a damn are John Teske and Xavier Simpson.
Sure.
Beyond that, Livers was a good role player and Eli Brooks. But outside of that, they're going to be scratching and clawing a little bit this season.
Agreed. The next team I've got listed here is Ohio State. Ohio State is plus 3,300 to win the NCAA title, plus 800 to win the Big Ten. This is, you know, we'll see. Chris Holtmann is the coach there, and I mean, they should be a little bit better. They did get an interesting transfer with C.J. Walker, a point guard from Florida State, and they're touted as the 14th best recruiting class in the country, which is better than Michigan State and Michigan. So I actually kind of bullish on Ohio State this year, even though they lost some people as well.
Yeah, me too. Chris Holtmann is an excellent coach. He came over from Butler, and he surely knows how to do in-game adjustments. So definitely a positive there for that team. And then beyond that, they've got the two brothers, Caleb Wesson, who is the big man, junior forward, averaged almost 15 points per game last season, and his brother Andre Wesson are two big guys inside, and they play great defense and are good rebounders as well. I do like this team, and because of their defensive abilities, they're sixth ranked on defense. And they do play at a pretty slow tempo, too. So it is one team that I've penciled in as an underlooking team for me.
Okay, that's great. Great information. Now I got your Boilers. They're also plus 3,300 to win the title, plus 1,200 to win the Big Ten. Your boy Matt Painter's there. And, you know, Evanston local Nogel Eastern is going to be leading this team at point guard. Obviously, they lost Edwards, who was their heart and soul last year. But they do return Trevion Williams and Eric Hunter. So the recruiting class, nothing to speak about, 58th in my list. What do you think about your Boilers?
Well, I mean, I was surprised to see them so high in a lot of the preseason publications, to be honest with you, and ninth in KenPom. They did lose quite a bit, Carson Edwards, otherworldly, last season. But they do return quite a good cast. Nogel Eastern, as you mentioned. Trevion Williams is one of my favorite players who really broke onto the scene last season. And beyond that, too, they added a grad transfer, Jihad Proctor, who's going to help out at point guard, which I think is going to be very helpful to get Eastern off the ball a little bit and let him kind of move and start creating his own shot, maybe work inside a little more. So I do like this Purdue team. They had a tough loss against Texas over the weekend at home, but definitely a team that I'm going to be looking to back more often than not.
And who could forget the Flying Dutchman, Matt Harms?
Oh, yeah.
He's in there, too.
Harms is back. Yeah, another good defensive team, too. I expect that they'll be playing some under games, although a little faster paced than Ohio State.
Right. Another team we penciled in here is, you know, the local teams, quote unquote, here in Chicago, but not really in Chicago. Illinois, they're plus 15,000 to win the title, but they're plus 2,000 to win the Big Ten. Brad Underwood is in his third season. He's been known to get grad transfers or get transfers in general over. They kind of made a, you know, late run in the season. They started off like crap, and then they started playing much better. They have Ayu Dosunmu.
Ayo.
He's a sophomore. That's a bad effort, but he's a Chicago kid, and he was pretty good. You got Trent Frazier. They definitely have guards. They love guards in his system, as well as Georgie. Georgie, the forward. You can pronounce his last name.
Bashvanishvili. Yeah. Yeah, this is one of my favorite teams and really a sleeper for me in the Big Ten. I think that they are going to contend this season at the top. Ayo Dosunmu was fantastic. I know you and I saw him at the Big Ten tournament last season, and that kid can really score. And Frazier is a solid point guard as well. And Georgie inside is definitely a force to be reckoned with in a lot of these Big Ten games. So the one concern I have about them is defensively, they're not very good on that end of the floor. At least they weren't last year. So they definitely need some improvement there. Another area where I see some weakness is their three-point shooting. As good as Dosunmu is, he's not really one to step out and take a lot of threes. So I do like Illinois. I put a small play in at them to win the title at 150-1.
Nice.
Thinking there's a little value there. If they can get into that tournament and get to the second weekend, I can look to hedge off a little bit.
I know that Light Rain, if he listens to this, he will be very excited, as will my sister, as Illinois grad, so they'll be happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Is there any other teams in the Big Ten that we have any interest in? I've got Fred Hoiberg returns, you know, goes to Nebraska, so he can maybe mix it up a little bit over there. Wisconsin's had a down. Indiana, Iowa has been traditionally pretty good, but I don't know. They seem to be down again this year too. So any of those teams pique your interest?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of up-down arrow, I was really interested in Nebraska, but they started out the past week looking like crap.
Yeah.
They do have a ton of grad transfers, which I think are going to take some time to gel. But I think that Fred Hoiberg is a good coach, and I do think that they'll be turning it around at some point this season, just maybe not quite as early as I had hoped. Outside of that, I'm down on Wisconsin. I think that I'll be looking to fade them more often than not, although another team that plays a lot of unders, so slow pace and good defense, good rebounding. Indiana, I'm high on. I think they're going to be very underrated this season. They picked up a couple of good freshmen from Indiana. Trace Jackson Davis, whose father, Dale, played in the NBA.
Sure, Dale
and,
Davis.
And Armon Franklin is a point guard out of Indianapolis. I think that those two guys in particular are going to be a major upgrade over Romeo Langford last season. And Iowa, I think, is middle of the pack. I mean, you know what you're going to get from them season in and season out. They're not going to blow you away, but they're also not going to be terrible. So,
for sure. So it seems a little top heavy in this conference. Obviously, you've got Michigan State way at the top, and you've got some pseudo-conference contenders in there. It doesn't seem like it's top to bottom as strong as it could be or in some other years. So we'll see how it shakes out. I don't love any of the plays, like you said. To me, it's Michigan State's conference to lose. So, you know, if you like you said, Illinois, that was for the title. But maybe I look at, you know, Ohio State at 8-1 or something for the conference title, if there was any team I was going to go for in this group. Well, let's move to the ACC. No surprise, Duke at the top. They're plus 1,000 to win the NCAA title. They're plus 250 to win the ACC. They're listed as the third best recruiting class with the number 8 recruit, Vernon Carey, who's a 6'10 center. Definitely a versatile player. They also have their core group of guys. They lost, obviously, the most talent than anybody in the country with three guys going to the NBA. But they've still got Trey Jones, they've got O'Connell, a shooter, and they've got Delorier, who's a kind of a lunch pail guy. You think their poor three-point shooting will still be their downfall?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at them right now. They've started off poorly again this season, 249th ranked at 26.1% from the three-point line. So a team that I'm looking to be fading probably more often than not. Duke carries a big price tag year in and year out. And also, Coach K has not really shown his ability to coach in game adjustments. And I think he's getting worse year over year, unfortunately. He can still recruit, but that in-game changes and ability to coach the team to win, I think, is lacking on his end.
Yeah, I mean, last year they had arguably the best talent in the country. Clearly they were young. You know, that doesn't help. But when it came to coming up with big plays late, they did have those kind of cardiac wins, just pure talent, and Williamson was so good. But at the same time, I just felt like sometimes the game plan, I mean, they were out coached by Central Florida for sure, right? They should have lost, you know, in the tournament. And that was a team that was not as talented. I mean, they had Taco and obviously Dawkins had a hell of a game. But my point is that, like you said, they can be had if somebody has a good game plan and can bring it against them. So,
yeah, I'm going to be looking to play them under as well again this year. I know we did it a lot last season, but their defense is really good. And although they play a quick pace, I think their poor shooting is going to lead to a lot of unders this season.
Agreed. Well, let's talk about a team that's kind of a hot name right now, and that's Louisville. Louisville, who's in your index, and also KenPom, they're plus 1,400 to win the title, plus 400 to win the ACC. They're listed as the 12th best recruiting class, and they return a group that they actually were really good under Chris Mack, despite all the turmoil with, you know, Patino leaving and kind of a rough situation. I personally really like this team. I think you do too.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously play a different style than the old Louisville teams. But Mac's a hell of a coach, and that's kind of what I look for with college teams.
Definitely. It seems like everyone that I listen to loves Louisville this season. They're a very trendy pick across the airwaves. And they're led by the returning junior forward, Jordan Nwora, who scored 17 points per game last season and can really shoot it, can stretch the floor too and shoot three-pointers. And they have a talented freshman class that came in too. Fresh Kimball, who was a grad transfer from St. Joseph's, is going to be helpful as well. So I like this team a lot, and they play good defense too. Now fourth ranked on defense and second on offense. So very good numbers. And if you're looking at a national championship contender, this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, and at plus 1,400, you're getting a little bit of value there. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I'm sure that when you talk about you want a little bit more, this would be one. 14-1 is a good number. So I'm with you on that. I may even put that in myself. So we'll see. Okay, the next team I'm going to list is North Carolina. The Heels are plus 1,600 to win the national title, plus 400 to win the ACC. Like always, they have a really good recruiting class. They're ninth ranked in the ranking that we're using here. They have the number four recruit, Cole Anthony, in this, a point guard who's supposed to be incredible. I want to see him play. Mm-hmm. And then grad transfer, Justin Pierce from William & Mary, along with Christian Keeling. I think they should compete in the ACC like they always do. But like you said with Coach K, Roy Williams is not the greatest in-game coach either. He's got talent and they have a system, but sometimes that system runs into better coaching.
Without a doubt, they do return not really a ton of players. They lost a lot last season, but Cole Anthony, his son of Greg Anthony, actually is awesome. I did catch a little bit of their game against Notre Dame last week, and that kid can really score. I think that North Carolina is a little bit of a dark horse because they lost so much off that team last season. I think they're being overlooked in the national media a little bit.
Right.
And they can really score, and they love to get up and down. They're ninth ranked in pace. So a team that I'll be looking to play over, although they're going to be posting some big numbers in these games.
They are. I mean, there's nothing like a Roy Williams team to run and gun and rebound. You know, there's one of your teams. They rebound the hell out of the ball. So they're going to be at the top of your metrics most of the time. And I usually love the way they play. Sometimes they just let me down in the tournament. You know?
Yeah, always, you mean.
Yeah. The next team is Virginia. We've got the defending champs here. They're plus 2,000 to win the national title, plus 400 still to win the ACC, which is kind of interesting. They lost a lot to the NBA. I mean, they had that core group of people. They had the 23rd ranked class coming in, which is still very solid. But Bennett, you know, he's a hell of a coach. He doesn't really need stars to win. Of course, I forgot to put the note in. Who's the guy from the center?
Diakite.
Yeah, Diakite. He led me to the near title of the player pool that we do. So what do you think about the Wahoos or the Cavaliers?
I think Virginia is going to be really good. I mean, they lost a ton of talent, and I have a feeling that's going to lead to some deflated numbers on their end. The bottom line is they still play excellent defense. Year in and year out, they're one of the best defensive teams in the nation. And because of that, they play a lot of unders too. You'll see totals for Virginia games that open up like 120 most games. Their scoring defense was ranked number one last season, 56 points a game allowed. And I love Diakite. That kid can really, he has a huge motor, and I think that he's going to lead them to a lot of wins this season. So I like them. I'm going to be betting on them a lot, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got the guys like sophomore, Kihei Clark. He was really good in the tournament. And obviously Braxton Key. You know, they got some good players on this team. It's just they're underrated. And like you said, they play kind of a brand of basketball that defies the modern game.
Yeah, but, and they're good. They're good without stars, too. I mean, even the guys they lost last season, Hunter, of the ones who went to the NBA, was really the only one who was a prototypical NBA player. You know,
that's right. Guy, he did not return then. He went to the pros?
Yeah, Kyle Guy left as well.
Okay.
And Ty Jerome.
Yeah, three-headed monster. They're scoring guys, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the next team is Florida State. They're plus 4,000 to win the title, plus 1,400 to win the ACC. I list them here because Leonard Hamilton, he has a system too, like Roy Williams. He brings in these gigantic dudes, and when they get off the bus, you know it's a basketball team. They always play very physical ball. He's bringing in the 19th ranked class. He has number 9 recruit, and Patrick Williams, a 6'8 forward who's supposed to be a stud. But they did lose some guys as well as that transfer I mentioned earlier. Do you have any interest in the Noles this year?
You know, I was looking to fade them quite a bit, and I watched them play this morning, actually, on Sunday against Florida, and they were super impressive. They took Florida to task and ended up beating them on their home floor. So that impressed me a little bit, and that defensively, they're going to be really good this season. They held Florida down, although I think it may have been a little bit more of an indictment on the Florida offense. But Florida State can really get after it, and like you mentioned, every season these guys can rebound. So they're going to be in every game just because they play defense and they can rebound.
hey, simple game, simple mm-hmm. game. And it's interesting they beat Florida because we'll talk about them in a minute. They're another darling out there. So are there any other teams? The ACC is huge. We know that it's a lot of teams, and week in and week out, there's always interesting games. But really, this is another top-heavy conference, in my opinion. You've got changes at Virginia Tech. Mike Young from Wofford comes over to replace Buzz Williams. And, you know, you've got some other guys. Kevin Keats, you know, did a pretty good job at NC State last mm-hmm. year. You know, I don't know, Danny Manning at Wake Forest or something. I mean, there's decent teams out there, but it's still very top-heavy to me. I don't know if there's any other teams you'd like.
Notre Dame is one that comes to mind. I think they okay. really got some bad luck last year with all the injuries that they picked up. And Mike Bray okay. is a fantastic coach in game and otherwise. And I expect that they're going to be a little bit undervalued this year. As well as you mentioned at NC State, I think that's another team that I'll be looking to back a little bit. They may surprise some people, be somewhat of a dark horse in this ACC. But beyond them, I think it's really kind of a down year for the middle and bottom tier of the ACC. I think they're going to get beat up quite a bit, and it'll be interesting to see how they fare in the non-conference slate and some of those lower teams.
Yeah, exactly. When they'll do the Big Ten ACC Challenge, I guess, or mm-hmm. Classic or whatever they call it. But both, you know, depends on how the matchups work out for those things. All right. Well, let's move to what I think is the best conference in the country for college basketball, at least top to bottom, the Big 12. It's loaded. And you start at Kansas at the top. They're plus 1,200 to win the national title. They're plus 130 to win the Big 12. It was the first year in, what, 14 years or something that they didn't win the Big 12. Mm-hmm. Mainly because of injuries, and then they had crazy situations with ineligible players and all that kind of stuff. Bill Self is kind of sweating it a little bit. He's looking like he's got some stress on his mind here. He's bringing in the 15th-ranked recruiting class, but he is getting Ezebuki back, the center, who is, you know, really critical to that defense. And this Chai Agbaji, I don't know if that's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Not bad, right? I got to be honest with you, Action, and it's hard because they're always so good. I'm fading Kansas again this year for two reasons. I still think that hammer of the NCAA is hanging over Bill Self, and you can see it when he's coaching. His face is going to explode. And if the, you know, Ezebuke's been solid, but you saw last year when he went out, that team wasn't the same.
Yeah.
So if they're one injury away from basically falling down, I don't like to back a team like that. So that's my take.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Ezebuke is a major part of this team, and we know that he's fragile. So mm-hmm. Without him, they're a different team. They do have Lightfoot coming back as well. Okay. So if he does go out, I mean, they have some other big guys. Agbaji, I understand, is supposed to be a pretty good player, although he is a guard.
Right.
And D'Souza is, I don't even know if he's eligible or not. But,
I don't either.
But no, I'm with you. And I think, like you said, with the cloud hanging over this Kansas program right now, I think that it may be a long season for them and likely another one where they'll perform under expectation.
Right. I think the other thing that's happened to Kansas over the last couple of years, it's not just, you know, they had a dominant run as the champ, but the league has gotten so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole league is tough. You go on the road in the Big 12 and, I mean, you don't ever know what to expect. You could lose it. TCU or Texas Tech for that matter. And you know, these aren't the top teams in the, I'm sorry, not Texas Tech. I meant to say West Virginia or something, you know, some team that you don't expect to be at the top, and they're just tough to play against. So Texas Tech, we know, was good last year. So
yeah,
but let's roll right into it. Texas Tech, as I mentioned them incorrectly, they're plus 2,500 to win the title, plus 500 to win the Big 12. This obviously was your darling that you just rode, you know, like a stallion into the cash last year.
Yeah.
Chris Beard is probably top 3 to 5 coach in the country.
Yep.
He's done it with guys you've never heard of. But he's bringing in the 16th best recruiting class this year with Jameis Ramsey as a top guard, but and also this troubled Chris Clark guy who's a transfer. I didn't read a ton about his background, but I understand he's had some legal issues, but I'm sure Beard can keep him under control.
Hmm. Where did Chris Clark transfer from? Do you know?
I think he actually had two stops, so I'm not exactly sure. When I read about the preview, I'm like, what is with this guy? They're like saying he was in jail or something? I don't even know. But
it looks
I
like
guess he's a talented player.
Virginia Tech was the most recent stop, at least. So, right. Yeah, I haven't heard much about him, but they did lose Jarrett Culver to the NBA, as well as Mooney, Owens, and Odiasi. So Really, the only returning player that I can remember from last season was David Moretti.
That's right.
But as you say, Chris Beard is definitely in the top five in terms of coaching in the national landscape. And just like every year, this team is going to be uber talented on defense, 11th ranked right now in the defensive end of the floor. And they like to play a very slow pace as well. So lends to them being in a lot of games, and I'll be looking to play them under a lot this season.
Yeah, always. They were just an under machine last year. The next team is Baylor. Baylor is plus 5,000 to win the title, plus 500 to win the Big 12. They're basically returning their team from last year, and you know, they had an interesting story last year. They were kind of down, had a lot of injuries, and then they got healthy and really pushed in the second half of the season in the tournament to play really well. They have potential player of the year, Tristan Clark, who I guess everybody's promoting as being one of the top guys, as well as adding this Maceo Teague from UNC Asheville. So, you know, they're going to be a really good team. We got to see them a little bit the other night. They did lose, right, to Washington, I think it was?
Yep.
In a really good game. They actually blew the lead in that game. But I think this is a dark horse team to win the Big 12.
Yeah, Baylor's going to be good. They did have another key dismissal in Mario Kegler, who was, dismissed. but they're going to be good. And I think the big key to this team is just their size and their length. They're always big on the interior and good at rebounding. So I do think that they're going to be a play on team for the most part. And on the defensive end, 12th ranked in defense. So a team that I'll be looking to play unders as well.
Exactly. And like you said, you like those rebounding teams, and that's one of them. Here's a kind of a bedeviling team every year. Texas. Texas is plus 6,000 to win the NCAA title, plus 1,200 to win the Big 12. Shaka Smart was, you know, America's darling for several years at VCU. He gets this big job at Texas. He's had great recruiting classes, including, you know, top five picks in the NBA. He's bringing a 17th ranked recruiting class this year. I kind of believe it's kind of a make or break year for him. I'm not sure if he's on the hot seat completely, but this guy can't win an NCAA tournament game with this team. And they usually have a really talented squad. They just are super underperforming every year. What do you think about Texas this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the season where Shaka Smart really gets them rolling a little bit. They have kind of underachieved throughout his tenure there. And although they lost quite a bit, Jackson Hayes in particular, to the NBA, I think that they're going to be very good this year. They just went on the road and won at Purdue over the weekend. So
nice.
Good start for them. And I think they're just a solid team. Nothing really blows you away in terms of their offense or defensive numbers right now. But they do play a very slow pace, and they do get after it on the glass too. So I think that this is a very solid squad, and certainly one that can contend in the top of the Big 12.
Definitely. Another team I've noted is Oklahoma State. A lot of people talking about this team. I mean, they're plus 30,000 to win the NCAA title. Probably not there, but plus 2,500 to win the Big 12. They have a very good recruiting class coming in at 24th ranked, and they're kind of an insider darling for some reason to be the most improved squad in the Big 12. I don't know if you've heard the same thing, but Oklahoma State seems to be on a lot of people's radars for some reason, at least at ESPN.
Okay. I actually didn't get a chance to preview them, so I don't have much to add here. But looking at their numbers here, pretty solid defensively, 41, and they do get after it on the three-point line defending too. They're holding their opponents at 24% from the three-point line so far this season. So maybe I need to watch them a little more.
Yeah, me too. I mean, obviously they lost Underwood, you know, so a couple years ago they had a good team for a minute, and then they kind of dropped down, so... We'll see. It's a tough league, so you got to start off hot in the Big 12. A couple of the other teams, I mean, there's tons of teams in this league, so these are four teams, and it's almost the whole league we're previewing. But, you know, Oklahoma, they've been good. They could be in the mix. TCU, you know, Jamie Dixon's always had a pretty good squad. West Virginia had a bad year last year, but you know, had a lot of injuries. They should bounce back. And then Kansas State has been one of those teams, kind of like Florida State, where they always bring these dudes to the gym that just body up and beat you up on the perimeter. But I think they're going to take a step back, in my opinion, at Kansas State this year. Are there any of those teams kind of intrigue you this year?
Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of in the middle of the road. I lump them together. I would throw Iowa State into that mix too.
Sure.
Steve Prohm always has a good team there in Ames. But none of them I would consider as competing at the top.
Right. Agreed. Okay. Well, that's the Big 12. I mean, it's deep. You're going to see a lot of interesting during the season. You don't know when. It's kind of like the Big 12 in football, like action backs off after a while because you don't know who to back because these guys beat up in each other.
Yeah, it could be a lot of underdog picks in that conference when the season rolls around.
Absolutely. They usually have they face off against the SEC and they're kind of classic. And that's always a nice telling mid-season. They don't do it early. They do it kind of mid-season, which is fun.
Yeah.
And that rolls right into the SEC. Look at that. I did a segue.
Nice job. Way to go, Wags.
I try to be like you, man. I believe the SEC, my little note here is I believe they have the best coaches in the NCAA basketball. So that what the SEC has done, a predominantly football conference, they've spent some money on big-time coaches in this conference. So most of these teams actually are pretty competitive, and it's shown actually in both NCAA berths and then in their conference schedules and stuff like that. So at the top, always Kentucky, plus 800 to win the national title, plus 225 to win the SEC. They're listed as the number two recruiting class. Unlike other years, they're a little bit smaller than they've been, but they're kind of more like wing, long, perimeter, versatile defenders. And they have the number six recruit in Tyrese Maxey, who's a guard. And then they also have Nate Satina, who we've talked about before on the podcast, I believe, and from Bucknell. Mm-hmm. So they should actually be really good immediately, which we've already seen them beating Michigan State. Do you like Kentucky?
Yeah, they're going to be awesome this season. They did lose a lot. Washington, Hero, Keldon Johnson, all to the NBA. But some of these players, Ashton Hagans returns, as well as Manuel Quickly. Nick Richards, who is a big guy inside, and this freshman class, along with Sestina, I think are going to integrate very quickly. We saw Tyrese Maxey on last Tuesday night just murder Michigan State. So I do like Kentucky a lot. I think they're going to be a very good team. And really, a lot of people rag on Calipari, but he's actually a pretty good coach when it comes to in-game adjustments, and he knows how to get his team and his players in the right spots to succeed.
No question. He's a hell of a coach. People can talk crap about him. I think he's a great coach for sure. The next team is Florida. You just mentioned them earlier. They're plus 1,600 to win the national title, plus 400 to win the SEC. They're a very sexy pick to win the SEC this year. Mike White's the coach there. I do think he's pretty good. Definitely a great defensive coach. They're the number eight recruiting class with the number seven recruit, Scotty Lewis, who's a swingman. They won kind of the grad transfer preview or whatever you want to call it, sweepstakes with Kerry Blackshear from Virginia Tech. So that's why everybody's very big on this team. It's interesting you said Florida State kind of handed it to them at home. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Florida?
Yeah, I liked Florida a lot going into the season. And that's why I was so interested in that game this morning. But you're right. When you talk about Kerry Blackshear, he's probably the biggest mover in terms of grad transfers in this offseason, and he's really going to take this team to another level. They also have the sophomore guard, Andrew Nembhard, who is a solid player, and I like watching this team in terms of their defense. They're excellent on that end of the floor, and they really like to slow the pace. They're near the bottom in D1, 330th ranked, so I'm going to be looking at playing them under a lot, and likely try to find some spots to back them too. Not a team I would lay a ton of points with because right now their offense is not that good. But I do think I'll be interested in them as the season rolls on.
Yeah, they're a team that, not unlike Virginia, you know, they're not going to be a team that's going to blow you out of the water. But it's a team that can go on the road and win, you know, with that defense. Mm-hmm. And I do think Mike White, like I said, is pretty good. They actually were kind of on the bubble a lot of last year, but you know, they basically had to put them in because they're metrics. You know, they're incredible. They're always like top 20 in KenPom and the defensive efficiency. They just had some bad luck in some games. I think this year they get a little more scoring out of Blackshear and maybe this freshman. Maybe they can get over the top, but it's going to be tough to take down Kentucky. The next team is LSU. LSU is plus 6,600 to win the national title, plus 700 to win the SEC. They lost NBA talent there with Nazarita and your guy, Waters, Tremont Waters. I don't know. I mean, last year was kind of interesting. The scandal somehow didn't take out the situation. I don't know how it didn't. It was kind of questionable there. They have the 32nd ranked recruiting class, which maybe that hurt the recruiting class. Personally, I'd be down on LSU. I thought they were so talented last year that they showed it. You know, they won the SEC, didn't they?
Yeah, they did regular season, at least.
Yeah. So I would fade them personally, but maybe that's just based on a moral stance. I'm not sure. What do you think?
Yeah, it's surprising that Will Wade survived through all those troubled waters last season. No pun intended.
Wading in the waters.
Tremont Waters is gone. They do return Javonte Smart, who was the center of all that attention, and he is an incredible point guard. Sophomore this year, he averaged almost 11 points a game last season. Skylar Mays comes back, as well as Marlon Taylor. But Will Wade really went to the transfer market this season. He brought in 4 junior college transfers and another transfer, Parker Edwards from Southeastern Louisiana. I think they're going to be competitive this season. And I actually am not sure they're going to take quite as big of a step back as it might have looked on paper. Their offense is going to be excellent again, and they are certainly going to have their presence on the inside as well in terms of their 2-point field goal shooting and the rebounding. So I'll be looking at them a little bit and try to find some spots for them.
Okay. A couple teams that made great runs. Well, one team that was an incredible run in the NCAA tournament, and the other team that probably disappointed a little bit was Auburn. You know, they're plus 3,300 to win the national title, plus 900 to win the SEC. Bruce Pearl brings the 20th ranked recruiting class this year. In my opinion, the biggest losses here in the conference, because they lose Brown and Harper, the two guards that were incredible for that run. And that's personally why I'm going to fade this team. I think that unless they can replace that, you know, valuable experience leadership at guard, it's hard to match what they did last year, especially in the tournament.
I definitely agree. This is a team that I had picked out to fade as well. And I think that Bruce Pearl is probably gets a negative check mark for me in terms of his in-game coaching abilities. So sure. That's another downside for them. But they do return Anthony McLemore, who is probably the best of the returning bunch, senior forward. And outside of that, nothing really excites me about this team. So I'm right there with you. I'm going to be looking to play against them.
Gotcha. The other team is Tennessee. The Vols, you know, they were really standing toe-to-toe with Kentucky all, you know, throughout. And LSU, they had that heartbreaker against – they lost against your team, right, in Purdue, right?
Yeah, Boilermakers. Carson Edwards knocked him off.
Yeah, he just kind of took him out. They had lost massive talent, you know, from their seniors. They're bringing back the 31st-ranked class. They did add the number 10 recruit in Josiah James at guard, who obviously should help. It just took so long to build up that original Vols team. They're still going to have guys, you know, in the backcourt that are solid, but I feel like losing those two forwards in Williams and what's his name, the big dude?
Schofield.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to replace, especially that just from a leadership standpoint.
Yeah, totally. And I think they're going to have to really kind of change the way they play this season. Losing those two guys on the inside is going to make them more of a perimeter-oriented team. They do get Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden back, who are going to have to step up tremendously. Between them, they only averaged 22 points a game last year. And like you said, they added a new freshman guard as well. So I think they're going to be much more of a perimeter-oriented team and a little bit more offense as well at 18th ranked right now. But I expect that the defense will take a step back this season and not necessarily one that I'll be looking to back as often as I did last year.
Right. And just to review, their odds were plus 4,000 to win the national title, plus 900 to win the SEC. The other team I've highlighted here is Georgia. They're plus 10,000 to win the national title, plus 2,200 to win the SEC. They bring in a very high recruiting class and the 10th recruiting class in the country, which puts them really at the just behind Florida and Kentucky in the conference. They have the number 2 recruit in Anthony Edwards, a swingman, and you know, for Tom Crean. I just don't like Crean. I don't know what to tell you. I know that this team should be better, and they probably will be better, but I'm not a big fan of his coaching style.
Yeah. I mean, he can definitely recruit, as evidenced by the class that he's brought in this year, but I'm right there with you. I think Tom Crean, I've seen it year in and year out at Indiana. He can't make in-game adjustments. He doesn't know when to call timeout. He can't get his team to inbound the ball. So certainly agree. I'll be looking to fade them, and nothing really blows me away in terms of their numbers either. Really kind of mediocre across the board here.
Right, right. I gotcha. Some other teams, you know, that basically there's a lot of changes in this, and this is one of the reasons why I think their coaching is superior. Musselman from Nevada goes to Arkansas, so I think that's a big upgrade there. It probably will take him a year or two to get his transfers in, but that guy can really find talent. Nate Oates comes from Buffalo to Alabama. You know, that's a huge upgrade in my opinion. I think Avery Johnson's a nice guy, but not a great coach. And Buzz Williams, I don't know why he keeps bopping around, but he went from Virginia Tech to Texas A&M. Again, an upgrade. I'm not a huge Williams fan, but he seems to make programs work and usually gets them tournament eligible. So he should be able to get A&M back on track. So that's why it's just a loaded coaching roster to go along with the other guys I haven't even mentioned, you know, Ben Howland and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
Mississippi State, I mean, yeah.
Dude, it's like every night you're looking at really good talent across the court. Any thoughts on some of these other teams?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Alabama and Coach Nate Oates as a dark horse in this conference, a team that really returns quite a bit. Kyra Lewis, guard, John Petty, and Herb Jones. And I think that they're going to come right out of the gate and be a formidable out in this league. They like to get up and down. Right now, they're fourth ranked in pace, 77 right. possessions a game. And although the offensive numbers aren't quite there yet, I do think that they'll get this thing on track, and I expect that they're going to compete near the top, probably just below that top tier of Kentucky and Florida.
Exactly. I think, you know, I agree with you. I think that coaching matters, and especially, I forgot Kermit Davis, Ole Miss, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they've got all these guys, when they can get their program implemented, even with guys that are there, sometimes it's just a fresh look, and these really good coaches can come in and make a difference. And in a game by game basis, like you said, in game adjustments, late game situations, that's when you win these ball games, you know, especially in cover situations for gambling. So we need that.
Yeah.
All right. Pac-12 is next on the list here. Oregon is the first team I've got here. They're plus 2,800 to win the NCAA title. Plus 250 to win the Pac-12. Dana Altman has done it again. He's brought in a very talented group. They're ranked fourth in recruiting this year. Plus they got C.J. Walker. C.J. Walker is a recruit, I believe.
Ah, okay.
And then they've got transfers Shakur Joyston from UNLV and Chris Duarte from the junior college. And then Peyton Pritchard is obviously back. So this team's solid.
I agree, and you're right, there is a C.J. Walker here. There's two of them, apparently. But, yeah, Peyton Pritchard was phenomenal during their run in the NCAA tournament last season, and I think that he's really going to keep this team steady, and they're definitely the top of the Pac-12, and I'm sure that they're going to win the conference here. Probably not look to make a play on them at 250. It's kind of a short number there, but right. I will be interested in betting on them week in and week out.
Yeah, they always bring in NBA talent. They got these long guys that can defend, and then all they got to do is make some shots, you know?
Right.
Arizona's next in line, plus 3,300 to win the NCAA title, plus 375 to win the Pac-12. They have the sixth-ranked recruiting class with the number five recruit, Nico Mannion, a point guard. They did have an injury, though, to Brandon Williams, who was supposed to be his backcourt partner. So this team takes a little bit of a step back than what they could have been. Sean Miller somehow has avoided the axe somehow. I'm not sure how, but Arizona's always in the mix. It seems like this year they're going to be back near the top after taking a step back last year.
Yeah, apparently Sean Miller and Bill Self both have something against somebody to make sure that they still have their jobs, because I just can't understand how this information hasn't come out. But anyhow, again, another team that I'm going to be looking to fade, and kind of the very similar light in the Kansas discussion, is just mm-hmm. all of this cloud that hangs over the program. And none of these players really blow you away, although I certainly haven't seen any of the freshmen play yet. I do understand Mannion is supposed to be very good. But outside of that, I don't know that they have anything that to write home about. Their offense and defense are both kind of mediocre, 24 and 33, respectively. I'm going to be looking to fade them a lot this season. And in fact, I've started tonight with a bet on Illinois.
Ooh, all right. Attaboy. Keep it local. The other team that I've highlighted here is Washington. They're plus 4,000 to win the NCAA title, plus 425 to win the Pac-12. I'm calling them Syracuse West because they've got the 11th ranked class with the number three recruit in point guard Isaiah Stewart and Kentucky transfer Quad A Green. This team is really tough, like they were last year. They lose Thibel, one of your favorite dudes, mm-hmm. and they play that, you know, Syracuse matchup zone, which gives everybody fits, especially in the Pac-12 where there's not a lot of teams that can shoot the rock. It usually works a lot better the first time through when they play teams, but all they got to find is a little bit of offense, and this team can win a lot of games. I'm bullish on Washington as I was last year.
Yeah, you can chalk me up for that too. This is Mike Hopkins' third season there at Washington, and I think it's really a chance for his recruits to come in, and obviously he knows what he's looking for. He plays the same zone that Syracuse does, and yep. I'm counting here, there's probably 10 new players that have joined the program in the offseason, so exactly. Quite a bit of turnover, but you have to imagine that all these guys were recruited specifically to play in that system. And it's already looking good, 19th ranked on defense. But much like Syracuse, it's going to be a struggle for them to rebound, which is always a question mark out of that zone. So I'll be looking to watch them a little bit and see how they fare before I jump in on them.
I gotcha. Makes sense. There's some other teams in this conference, you know, that we should talk about. I mean, USC is the seventh best recruiting class. I'm not sure if that means anything if they're not going to listen to the coach. There's some coaching changes in UCLA. You got Nick Cronin, who, you know, replaces Alford. I don't think that's an upgrade. It's kind of crazy they can't get a big name at UCLA. I mean, Nick Cronin's a solid coach, but it's not, you know, UCLA used to be the gig, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Mark Fox goes to Cal, and I just put, meh, he was at Georgia at some time. I'm not too excited about him. Are there any other teams in this conference that intrigue you at all?
No, not really. I am intrigued by UCLA, not necessarily from a bet-on perspective for the sides, but I'm interested to see what the totals look like as we start out in the season, because last season, Alford had them up and down and running and high-paced team. But now right. that Mick Cronin comes in, you've got to expect that he's going to bring that same style that he played in Cincinnati, which is a much more slogging, defensive, full shot clock possession kind of pace. So very interested to see what the totals look like and maybe see if I could catch some inflated numbers and go under a little bit, at least early in the season.
Yeah, agreed. And Cronin, I'm sure the people, the UCLA boosters, were not thrilled to see Nick Cronin coming to town. It's not going to be a... an open floor game, that's for sure. But, you know, he's a solid coach. Okay, well, let's move to the Big East now. The Big East has Nova at the top, as they always do. They're plus 2,000 to win the NCAA title, plus 225 to win the Big East. They tout the fifth best recruiting class, but they also have losses. You know, they basically, the full championship team is cycled through at this point. I personally will fade this team in March. You're against me here, especially in your index. Mm-hmm. I think Jay Wright's in a hell of a coach, though. I just think that they lack a little talent, and it's going to take a little bit for these freshmen to come up to speed. What do you think?
I like this team. I like Jay Wright as a coach. He's shown year over year that he can coach these guys into good positions to succeed. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned, they're going to be very young. But I expect that they're going to compete at the top of this league this season. I think on whole, the Big East is going to be down a little bit. So it'll get them a little bit of an opportunity to get their feet under them and should be rolling by the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I do see there's a Chris Archidiakono on there. That must be...
younger brother, surely.
Younger brother, right? So, yeah, they got an interesting team. I mean, Gillespie was solid last year, too, so... we'll see. I mean, it's a great system. I love watching them. It's an NBA style. I just think that there's some guys that have caught up a little bit in the conference rolling into Seton Hall. So Seton Hall is plus 5,000 to win the national title, plus 350 to win the Big East. Point guard Miles Powell is returning. He's just a stud, just a total scorer. They bring Ike Abiagu from Florida State as a transfer here. And I think that him as at center is going to help Powell basically help the defense, help some easy rebounding. So I'm actually a little bit high on Seton Hall, at least for the Big East here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you mentioned Miles Powell. He's probably one of the top three candidates for the Wooden Award. He is just fantastic, 23 points a game last season. And beyond that, they bring back three more players who average 10, 9, and 9 in Miles Kale, Quincy McKnight, and Sandro Mamukelashvili.
And,
I think that this team is going to be a national contender throughout the season. Certainly, they're going to be scoring the ball at will with Miles Powell leading them. And I think that they're a team that you can look to bet on week in and week out, probably an over bet as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another team that's actually improved after kind of having a little bit of a step back was Xavier. They're plus 5,000 to win the national title, plus 550 to win the Big East. They got big-time transfer Jason Carter from Ohio, who I guess lights it up, who comes into Xavier. So, you know, they're going to be another contender in the Big East here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this team is a very solid squad year in and year out. And Travis Steele is there for his second season. So hopefully he's got his feet under him a little bit. And they do bring back some good players, too. Paul Scruggs is a guy out of Indianapolis who's a solid guard. And Najee Marshall as well. So I'll be interested to see how they come out of the gates this season.
For sure. The last team I want to highlight here is Marquette. They're plus 5,000 to win the title, plus 400 to win the Big East. Interesting that they're ahead of Xavier, but they bring Marcus Howard, who we know he can score too, but we've seen that in big situations, maybe he doesn't hit the big shot like Miles Powell. I don't see much else in this team. I'm not really big on Marquette. Certainly fun to watch Howard play a little bit, but to me, this is a team that I'm not big on.
Yeah, I mean, they lost both of the brothers, the Hauser brothers, which I think is going to be a major letdown for this team. And beyond Marcus Howard, they don't really return much, just a couple of part bit scorers, Sakar Anim and Theo John, which both averaged 8 and 6 points a game, and a bunch of freshmen. So I'm not sure how quickly this team will gel, and much like last season, I think they're going to be pretty porous on the defensive end.
Yeah, agreed. The only other note I have for the Big East is St. John's. Obviously, no longer, you don't have Chris Mullen anymore. You've got Mike Anderson from Arkansas. No thanks. Mm-hmm. I think Mark, he's a nice man, but I think his coaching style does not work that much in college anymore. So he'll bring a different style than Mullen's, but yeah, that's it.
Yeah, the only other team I wanted to mention quickly was Butler. I think that they're going to be a surprising team this season. They've returned quite a bit as well, and their coach is also getting his feet under him, his third year, I believe, there. And I think that they're going to be solid this season on offense, especially. They're 20th ranked on offense, and they can really shoot the three ball. So exactly. I'll be looking at them a lot this year.
Perfect. And it's Mullen, not Mullen's Wags. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. All right, we got three other teams that I want to highlight that are not in the big conferences we've mentioned so far. I'm not trying to dog the American. They're definitely there. We'll talk about, you know, some element there. But let's start off with the Zags. The Zags in the West Coast Conference, they're plus 2,000 to win the title. I don't even have odds for them in the WCC at this time because it's, I guess,
their
favorite. They won like every year. Mark Few, he brings in the 13th ranked recruiting class and an A&M grad transfer, Admon Gilder, a guard. I just see them as the champs again in WCC. And what I love about the Zags is they're not afraid to play anybody. They play everybody anywhere. So they're going to build up that resume and always be a tough out. I just don't see them as a Final Four contender this year. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on the Zags?
Yeah, I mean, another year and another injury for Killian Tilly. It sounds like he's going to be out a little bit with another injury. So something to monitor with this team. But like you mentioned, as usual, they're going to be at the top of the West Coast Conference. And although they do have a little bit of competition this season with St. Mary's, who I think is going to be vastly improved. So it'll be a very good battle to see them at the top this year.
Okay. I see you just typed that in. St. Mary's, of course, that's their rival in the WCC. It seems like it's those two teams. Every now and then BYU pops their head up, but it really comes down to those two games they play during the regular season and then the one game usually for the title in the WCC. But
Right. Hopefully,
I like the coach there. I think he's a good coach. He runs a nice program, but we'll see. Not a national title guy. Let's leave Memphis for last. Let's talk about Utah State first. Utah State, they're the class of the Mountain West, my old haunts. They're plus 20,000 to win the title. And then, of course, they didn't give any odds for them because I guess they're the prohibitive favorite. They are the top team in the Mountain West, and they return Sam Merrill, who was a leading scorer in the conference, and really seems like they're going to walk away with this conference because with Nevada, with the change with Musselman to Alford, you got to figure there's a big step back there.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a lot of other talent in that. I mean, UNLV doesn't have anything this year. New Mexico, you know, Colorado State, I'm sure will be a dark horse. But Utah State could be a team that could be practically undefeated going into the tournament almost.
Yeah, Sam Merrill is a phenomenal player, and I do agree. I think this Utah State team is one that is going to be in the top 25 for the majority of the season. Not that that really means a whole lot, but I do think that they're one that is going to be in it in the tournament, and they're probably going to end up with a top 24 or 30 seed. So I give them a good chance to make a run, and I actually put in a small play for them to win the title at that 200-1 number.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about the team that's, you know, we got some news this week. So Memphis, you know, they come out as plus 1,400 to win the national title, plus 150 to win the American. So the prohibitive favorite there. They have the number one recruiting class with the number one recruit, James Wiseman, the 7'1 phenom center. So Anthony Hardaway is bringing in the talent, and I put, can he coach? Well, obviously he can do more than coach. He can bring people in and move their families to Memphis. So Wiseman has been deemed ineligible, although he has a restraining order against both, I guess it's against the NCAA, and he's also suing Memphis University because of all this. And I don't know. I mean, I thought it was shady that they were so highly ranked anyway before all this came out on, what was it, Friday when we were talking about it when it came out? So we saw him play. He played against UIC and destroyed it. The guy's amazing. He'll be probably the number one pick in the draft. But, I mean, unless this guy pulls the bill self and somehow avoids scrutiny, I can't see this team going that far.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of this turmoil at the beginning of the season is only going to be a disservice for them. I really do hope that they figure out the Wiseman situation, though, one way or another, because it's really sad to see a kid have to go through that. But NCAA aside, they do have other good recruits, though. Precious Achiuwa and Rajon Ellis are both also very highly rated, and I think that they're going to be very good this season. You got to figure that they're still going to be dominant in their conference. The AAC is probably not very heavy this season, so I think that they'll be right there at the end. Although I think I mentioned on Friday, I did bet them under their season win total at 24.5 games.
So you went under 24.5. Yeah, yes. That's probably good. You did it before the Wiseman news anyway, right?
Yeah, before the season started.
Yeah, smart man. No, I think that's smart. I mean, when I started reading about this and I was kind of shocked, I'm like, I knew Memphis was kind of improving, but to go from that to like a top 10 team is kind of weird. But yeah, I think under 24.5 is a good bet. I mean, Houston's pretty good in that conference, and there's other teams that are tough, but
yeah, Cincinnati is always a tough out. Wichita State's better this year as well.
Right, exactly, and SMU's had their days. So, okay, well, let's jump right into our final four picks and championship picks. I'll let you start since I got to think.
Okay. The clock is ticking. Turn on the Jeopardy music. Yeah, I'm going to go this season with a little bit of chalk, as we normally do here on the show. Michigan State, Louisville, North Carolina, and Kentucky are my picks. I know it's early, and these are probably four of the top five, but that's who I'm going with.
I know. You'll stick with it, huh? I like those picks a lot. I think I'm with you with Michigan State. I think that they're right there. Cassius Winston's shown that he can play in the big game. And despite, you know, kind of struggling in the regular season in a way, Michigan State didn't run away with it in the Big Ten. And then they just played great in the tournament, especially against Duke and everything. I like that pick. I'm going to go with Kentucky too. I know those are the two top teams, but it seems like Cal has got a different blend of players this time. He's kind of figured it out. You know, last year, I think he had the right blend, but obviously the injury with PJ Washington must have affected him, and they were really just a play away from advancing to the Final Four anyway, right? So I think that he's been close, and I think this is the team that'll get him over the top this year, so he'll get to the Final Four. A team I'm going to back this year is Oregon. I know it's weird to take a Pac-12 team, but I think that Dan Altman's got the talent this year. I think that he can play a great brand of basketball, plus he's got Peyton Pritchard, who's been there, and also can just raise his game and his players around him to make it happen. Now the fourth team, it's a tough one. I got two teams highlighted. I got to make a choice. I think I'm gonna do Louisville. I'm gonna go get behind Louisville here, and you've got him there too, I guess. I like Louisville because the coach, Chris Mack, he's had really good teams in the past, but I think this time he's even got better talent. So I think that Duke will take a step back this year, and they're going to – Louisville will be at least a 2 seed going in, maybe a 1, and that'll help them to get to the Final Four and cut down the nets. So okay. The other team I was thinking about was Florida, FYI. So we're pretty similar. We just differ on North Carolina versus Oregon here. And then my champion this year, it's hard for me to say, dude, but I'm gonna take Kentucky, man. I think Cal's got the right mix. I think this is the year for him to put it together. He's been close a couple times in recent years. He hasn't been to the Final Four in a while, and I think that that's weighing on him. I do think this is the year for them, and I think they're gonna win it all.
Okay, my champion pick is gonna be Louisville. Actually, mm-hmm. I think that they've really turned it around this year, and Jordan Nwora is one of my favorite players in the NCAA. So I expect him to have a Curry or Carson Edwards like run and take them to the cut down the nets.
Nice. Love the call. All right. Well, that covers our college basketball preview. Pretty lengthy, as we always are. Sorry, Action. I know you want to keep it under an hour. But our listeners really want this content. I know they're mm-hmm. eagerly waiting to hear this. And what we'll probably do, I don't know, we can talk about it, but if we're going to start doing picks in the body of it, of our normal podcast going forward, or maybe we'll wait till regular season college football is over with or something. But check out the index of KenPom, and then I don't know, we can probably either somehow distribute, or maybe you can tweet out some stuff for the Action Index so people can start looking at it.
I like that idea.
And somehow do that. I'd be happy to share it on mikespool.com too. But check it out, and we'll go forward for the season.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. We both know that college basketball is the best time of year, and really excited to get this going and keep growing those bankrolls.
That's right. That's right. Let's cash tickets. So, all right. Well, we'll be back with our regular scheduled podcast this week. It'll be a day later. No, this week is fine. Okay. Mm-hmm. It'll be normally. You'll see it on Wednesday likely. And then we'll keep going forward. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Hopefully this will be good information to start out your college basketball season.
Yeah. Peace out, everybody. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. License under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.